All right. Thank you, Junior. I'm going to deal with Chapter 18 on the allowance of honorable men. Then I'm going to Chapter 19 on the next section. It's going to take me a while to get over Chapter 18. I want y'all to get that book. Every one of us will have that book and read it. Read those two chapters, Chapter 18 and 19, in the allowance of honorable men. I think they have accomplished something that we need to accomplish. Now, when I use the word son, I'm talking about sons and daughters this morning, so I want you to know that. And that chapter talking about the aspect of the model father. Such words as allowance, a union to promote common interests, a union to promote common interest. We've got to come be on one accord. We've got to operate as one man. Then we're going to run into a word called tandem, T-A-N, tandem, T-A-N-D-A-M. That means a team spirit. I want you to think about such things as our union get closer and closer together, and we really need to master this. Such words as transfer, I'm going to deal with this morning. Relationship. A third aspect is the reality of connection. And then we'll come there in Psalm 127, 3 through 5, that sons should be heirs in their father's hand. Another aspect before I get into the book is a note I draw from it. You must come to the understanding of the mystery of how transfer work and it's important for your success. Let me go over those again. I have two more I want to add to it. Transfer is so important. It's designed by God that way. And then in the transfer, once the son find the father and the father find the son, there's a relationship that must be developed untenanted. And then we must know that connection is important. It's a divine way. It's the way God designed it. So the reality of the connection. We're just not in a 4-H club or a social club. We're in a position where we're connected spiritually. And then when you come to the reality of connection, I know this person for myself. This is what I did. It's taking the relationship to another level. So I began this morning as the Spirit lead me to bring this forth so we can digest this 18th chapter. We need to, because this is where we're headed. I think it's a supportive job that has been done. The first statement is the generational transfer allow what God had begun in fathers to continue in the next generation. In other words, a father, if he's going to be a model father, he got to have something in his legacy. He got to have a track record that he could pass on. Nobody want to follow nobody not doing anything. So that generation of transfer allows what God has begun in the fathers to continue in the next generation. Number two, and I'm almost going line on line, this would call the sons to come into their own maturity and into the measure of their own stature. Very important. I think allowance, LTMA is an allowance, and we've got to work with a team spirit. We've got to have common interest. We can't be messing around with little petty jealousy stuff or one is greater than the other one, or competition. Listen to what this statement says. I know you can read it, but I want it to come out of my mouth to you and out of my heart to you. This will cause the sons to come into their own maturity and to the measure of their own stature. Get that word. Get those three words, maturity, measure, and stature. It's so important that we have this kind of development. The next thing he said is it is at this point that the allowance of father and sons become a reality. And I told you the word allowance is a union to promote common interest. We got to have common interest, and whatever the father is doing, we need to latch on to it. We never understood that because everybody wanted to have their own agenda. and do their own thing. And a lot of times people never reach maturity. They never was able to reach the measure that God wanted them to reach because they never found their father, and they never become dedicated to fathership and sonship. And so we don't want that to happen. So that first paragraph, is so important about
transfer, about measure, about maturity, about reality. Secondly now, the wonderful relationship of the father and the son must be taken to the next level beyond the context of the house. In other words, he's going to explain himself more widely in a few moments, but it's not when this father should have not just a house ministry to present. He should be flooring in other vicinities, other areas, spread and wide so everybody can breathe. And we're doing that at this point. The second phrase of this about the house is, in the house, the sons are a gift of the Lord and the reward of the union of the marriage covenant. We have now our relationship. I heard of many of y'all on the line. It's wonderful. We have a marriage relationship. And we got to watch. I tell you what we got to watch. I'm studying the soul right now. We got to watch from getting wounds in our soul, in our relationship. Satan is not concerned about your body. He can't do nothing about your spirit. But you like to put wounds in your soul, some kind of trauma or some type of sin or some type of ill will. That's why he's going to try you. And so what I am to do is teach the body of Christ and have you to connect with me about how we can shut the enemy out, how we can stop the enemy from breaking good churches up, breaking good relationships up. He actually get wounds in the soul. And I'll talk more about that. If you've been listening to me, you know I've been dealing with that. So let me read this again. In the house, the sons are a gift of the Lord and the reward of the union of the marriage covenant. Then the next point says, however, they will have to change their role, R-O-L-E, to become arrows, A-R-R-O-W-S, in the hands of their father, who is now going to the front line of the battlefield. Now, in this apostolic ministry, got pastors on the line. I would see them becoming apostolic pastors, teaching a stronger doctrine, the doctrine of the early church in a stronger manner, not just lingering at the word of faith, the charismatic, and the full gospel doctrine, but moving, exploring areas where the Holy Ghost is going to bring us out into deeper territories of the anointing and the revelation of God. And so the role has to be changed. However, they will have to change their role to become arrows in the hand of their father, who is now going to the front line of the battlefield. In other words, those who are members of LTMA, pastors or evangelists or whatever, prophets, your role will have to be changed. You will have to, your agenda has become the same agenda as the father. I think the 12 was a primary example of that. Those boys set schedules, and they scheduled around what the Lord had told me to do. And I really didn't have to push that on them. They became matured in that area. And they start doing it and make the sacrifice of whatever it takes. But at the same token, those boys are receiving. I mean, their lives are changing. Their families are changing. Their ministry are changing. Their finances are changing. And so we want LTMA, everybody, to see the sacredness and the seriousness of this connection. And it can have the same thing. So we're going on the front line of the battlefield. So I thank God put you all around me. That I may be able to stretch out from the designs or the revelation he had placed in me, and sometimes it will not be on a common scale. And that's what the Lord wanted, to have enough people to understand the revelation to get the truth into his realm. The fathers are moving out of the contextual point of the house, and as such, their role, function, and mandate is changing. So the son need to be in tandem. That word tandem, I'll look it up. TANDM. It's a team spirit with the new development in the lives of their father. In other words, I was out there already. I didn't know why God was putting me so far out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got this money coming. Now we're dealing with the soul. But he's putting me out there for a reason, because he's trying to get the church where the church can handle a situation. We got too many people falling, too many churches falling, too many pastors falling. We got too many members that are living in sin that don't know what happened to them. And I know we have made a discovery here with the life of the soul. And we have thought that the soul, the heart, the spirit, and the inner man are the same thing. They are not. They are not. Because Hebrews 4:12 said he can divide them, his spirit, soul, and body. And so there's a lot of teaching and a lot of development we're going to have to do in that, along that line. Now, here's the scripture base. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Because there's a point here that the Holy Ghost is aiming to show us from this revelation. It said, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Notice what it says now. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with the enemy in the gate. That's so important that we operate as one man, but being a team spirit. That's why I have this impartation to let you know what direction I'm going in and what type of lifestyle I'm developing. Another word is very important is intimate. Intimate. The son must have an intimate relationship with their father and secure a godly heritage of their own foundation. If that relationship is built right with that father, and that father is real, you will definitely step into a godly heritage beyond denomination, beyond the norm, and your foundation will be much more stronger. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, Paul talks about that to a young Timothy. Let me see, can I read that? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 2-5. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served from my forefather with pure conscience, that without ceasing I remember of thee in my prayer night and day. Same thing here. I'm constantly praying for LTMA. Sometimes names come up, I pray for that name. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remember the unfinished faith that is in thee, which the world first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. He was just encouraging his son because he had been a good son. Now, this next statement I want you to hear, because most people miss this. When they become common with their father, or just think they're in an organization and they don't recognize there's something for them to partake of. This next statement I think is outstanding. They must be conscious of all the impartation they have received and the dimension of God's grace and spirit upon their life. That is so important. Now, see, if we're a team spirit, if you... I've read probably in this chapter, talk about a model father. If you don't get rubbed wrong when things don't go your way, you think that the father leading you wrong, settle down, because if the father hasn't changed, the Lord's going to change him. But you're in there to get to glean and to partake of all that the father has to offer. Now, I did this with Brother Hagin. And I got what I needed to get from him, even though it was like Elijah, and Elijah had other ministers tell you, man, back off, you're gone. But I never paid that no mind. So this statement here, this was a powerful statement. They must be conscious of all the impartation. Don't just come to a meeting. Don't just sit there. Don't just come there and think it's a money meeting. Come there and get ready to impart. Pay attention to what's going on. They have received and the dimension of God's grace and spirit upon their life. If you do it right, according to the scripture, a father and son relationship, a father and daughter relationship, there must be an impartation. If there's not an impartation, no reason for you to be there. And the dimension of God's grace and spirit upon their life. But if you're not hooked up properly, you're not going to receive nothing but an argument. And I know we're not going to do that. He goes on to say, they are now commissioned with the same assignment as their fathers. And this covenant partnership, listen, covenant partnership and alliance must accelerate them together into their destiny. In other words, this relationship we have is not about me. It's about God. And it's about God's way of bringing a promotion faster than you can get it. That's the way the Father set it up. Father, send somebody with some experience who have gone where you are going. You know, so a lot of times people can come to the point where they think they're more spiritual than the Father. And that's where they get in arrogant because God has chosen certain people for certain positions to be in a certain role for him. And he sees to it that person pursue him to be in a position to lead his people, lead his ministers. So Ephesians 4:11-12 stands. Because we only have three things we're supposed to be doing. That's in that 12th verse of Ephesians 4:11. Perfection of the saint for the work of the ministry to the edifying of the body of Christ. That's a wrap. And, you know, that chapter tells us some great things that happen, whatever joint supply. And so right now, I'm having a great awakening in my church. And if you will watch it and be paying close attention, pastors, what I've done by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and by the revelation and the reality of our assignment, stagnation in Word of Life, Peter said, I stopped breaking it. Because most of the time when you make an altar call, Pastor, you're fishing in your own pond. Now, you have to teach your people about their priesthood, and you have to teach them about their assignment. You have to teach them that they must witness, and they must welcome and invite people to come to hear their pastor. Come get my pastor one Sunday. Come go to the morning. Rather they will be talking. Come. I started a few weeks ago. I had 37 people at the altar one Sunday. I had 15 last Sunday, 10 or 12 the other Sunday. The people who come, when they hear that word, they're coming to the altar. They're coming to the altar. This is one thing that we have robbed congregations of. They have become stagnant. They have become fat. They have become loaded with our teaching. We're doing much praying to feed them. But they're not doing it. It's almost a chef agenda. And they're not doing the Great Commission. So one of the changes that apostolically we have to bring in the church is to get the people back in their role, get them back in their priesthood. I remember many years ago, I followed Fred Price quite a while. And I remember when I go to Fred Church, how excited the people were. But people would catch other people and say, look, you need to hear my pastor one time, just one time. Just come go with me this Sunday. And ladies and gentlemen, what I found out in my polling about this, I would ask the question because I would stand them up. I say, everybody got a guest, stand up. Now, y'all got to follow suit. Follow suit, what's going to happen? Everybody got a guest, stand up. I let them tell who the guests are. And then I make rap over the guest sometime. But then I ask them this question. I said, you asked them to come. I said, did you have to argue with me? They just come. And I have had an answer back to the people arguing. They just come. And so this is one of our moves to get the parishioners or to get the congregation to get your sons and daughters as a pastor to mobilize them into their responsibility. Because some of the things you're praying about for them and some of the issues they're bringing to you is because they're not on their job. is some prayers that are not being answered, some manifestation, demonstration that they need. When this starts happening, then they're going to get excited. Then the church will come back alive and multitude will be added like the book of Acts. So that's so important. If your church is not growing, if you got 20 members, feed those 20 people properly. Not that they go out and be a pest to people, but have an anointing on their life, yet they invite them to come see with me. And they'll usually come, and they'll come, and they'll come, and they keep coming. So I just took a little sidetrack to let you know one of the things I'm doing, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about even next Sunday, because I know some more members are going to bring guests, and I'll have a chance to minister to these people, and most of the time, they come to the altar. All right, let's get back to the lesson for a few minutes. I want to read this one again anyway. I bet. They are now commissioned, sons and daughters, with the same assignment as their father and their covenant partnership and alignment must accelerate them together in destiny. Now, without my spiritual father, I wouldn't be where I am today, because revelation, sometimes he spoke on me, sometimes he laid hand on me, and I was constantly following him. And I saw a lot of things I needed to know. Make a note of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It says, Timothy knew for a fact that he was assigned. Listen to this. Timothy knew for a fact that he was assigned to the same course as his spiritual father, and that only an accurate connection in life and legacy could help him stay abreast with what God was doing in the life of Paul. You see, so that connection, that covenant, that connection is so important. It's you can't afford to lay back. You can't afford to do with our father, son, and daughter relationship like I've just talked about in the church, how Nima just said that, and they want us to do all the work. We got to stir them up, stir the gift up in them, and that's the same way this morning. I'm for you. I'm your father. I will never go against you. We'll find out that sometimes correction looks like it's against, but correction is direction and protection. And so I think we are establishing that type of relationship. I think the leaders have helped so much to bring us into a place that in all the years of my life, I really had not seen it. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it as a team, like we are working together. We all got our different flaws, but if we want to connect properly, because I want to read this again, it's so important, this statement here. Timothy knew for a fact that he was assigned to the same course. Now, that's important, same course, as his spiritual father. And that only an accurate connection in life and legacy, in other words, life and legacy. So you can connect with my life. You can connect with my legacy. I have nothing to be ashamed of. You follow me? And so I will never make you ashamed. Before I make you ashamed, I would back off from being your spiritual father. I would live like this the rest of my life. So I have a life and I have a legacy that can help him stay abreast with what God was doing in the life of Paul. And the same thing here, I have a life and a legacy. You can check and see what God is doing in my life. And now we're going to a higher level, because now all these years God has been preparing me, I didn't know it, for the apostolic. And so we're going to get our hand and hammer on the apostolic properly, because it's one of the foundation of the church, the apostle and the prophet, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, in Ephesians 2:20. So we got to understand that when you are called, or when you are talked with by one of the leaders under me, one of the 12, they're only following the instruction. My son, Leroy Jr., the only following the instruction that I have given them. I can't be every call. Nobody trying to control you. Nobody trying to beat you down. We're just trying to establish and allow that you can see results. I won't be in nothing. I don't see no results. I get up. All right, now, the apostolic pattern of the alliance of father and son. I want you to get that word alliance now. What it means, the team spirit, really. The team spirit, I think it goes to Africa. But tandem means it means the same thing as alliance. A union to promote common interest. Nobody would be left out. You do what you're supposed to do. And you will not be left out. But God gonna make a room for you. God can open a door for you. Just like he did for me. Brother Hagin had his ministry and had thousands of ministers around there. And I went to him and me. And I need to get y'all encouraged. Stop saying what you can't do. Stop believing God. Stop thinking. And stop saying, I can make that meeting. I got some boys that are Mary Washington. And who never traveled with? Can somebody give me his name? Honorary. They don't miss on me. I just call them too. The other boys don't miss it. But they make a way. I went all the way to Washington. It was up there. So you can do it if you want. God will give the money and God will give the time. I want every member, listen to me right now. Every member, commit. I need you to commit. If you commit, if you don't commit, here's what I don't want you to do. Call this common. Because if you call it common, it's like a commercial. You know, I use a mute commercial. I mute them. I don't want to hear what they got to say. So this is, you can't call it common. You can't make this a commercial that I'm saying to you. It's a father who loves his son and daughter, won't be able to catch a hold of some of the things I've said at Joe Church and anointing came out. I'm going to call the church next week. I mean, these are not common commercial meetings. I don't know what's going to happen in these meetings. Say, friend, let me give you one to feel on. I was at Carlin Church, and I come with it, and some people don't like to hear it, but you got to hear it. Get the nigga out your soul. See? Now, I'm laying in the bed, and the Lord, he's working on that. See, now, this is what tests you here. This tests you. Nobody shouldn't say that. No, we're freeing people up of all colors, white, black, brown, because superiority is a sin, inferiority is a sin. And I woke up the other morning, I told my wife, Lord, it's supposed to be the Spirit of God. Nigger illusion. Nigger illusion. You know what illusion is? Go look at that. It's an illusion that is built in the mind of men, of black, white, and all. That's an illusion that has been built and it comes to reality to a lot of people that they don't have a revelation, and we have to bring the revelation. A revolution, a revival, a renewal, a rest from it. We got to, that's our assignment. I know that's my assignment. So when you hook up with me and you hear me say anything off the wall, I didn't go get them off the wall. They came from God. You never heard of an illusion. You know? The word illusion. All right, now, just a little while longer. We can see the apostolic pattern of the alliance of father and son right through the scripture. That's the way God works, you see. Here's the definition of illusion. Something that's deceived by producing a false or misleading impression of reality. Nigger illusion. Or, number two, a condition of being deceived, misapprehended. So it's a deception. And so that's why when I woke up, he said that. So I got to let y'all know I got white, black, Hispanic, all under me. I got to let y'all know we won. And I got to let y'all know none of y'all can feel inferior no matter what nobody say. We got to get that out. We got to get all that out. And we've got to walk in love for everybody in spite of hate and envy and all that mess, we got an assignment. Let me read this again. We can see the apostolic pattern of the alliance of father and son right through the scripture. We endeavor to bring this truth back into the life of the church. What? We endeavor to bring this truth back into life. Back means going out. Without this dimension of true father, you heard that? Accurate, succession cannot possibly take place in the spirit realm in the church and in the ministry. We cannot operate on any other paradigm for succession. Look that word up. Succession, I know what it is. And there are none. So for the succession to go on, and for the lineage to go on, and for the generation to go on to an accelerated level, we in LPMA have to bind ourselves together and grow up. And is the same thing as a paradigm?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You look up succession, you got paradigm? You look up the wrong word. I want the word succession. All right. Just a little while longer. Wait a minute. Well, you look up paradigm for succession, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I want the word succession, but I don't know. Succession, they're coming of one person or thing after another in order. They're coming of one person or thing after another in order. Sequence, or in the course of event, all right? A number of persons or things following one another in order of sequence. The right act or process by which one person succeeds to the office, rank, or state of life of another. So that succession is that what I'm putting out belongs to you. Whatever success I have belongs to you and go further. Because remember, Elijah did twice as many miracles as Elijah. So, but the father had to have something to offer, and the son and daughter by commitment got to be determined. I'm not letting nobody turn me. I'm not gonna let them guys on the mountain come out. You know your father's gonna leave you today. Elijah ain't created that in our mind. And then when he came back across the water, they had to bow down to him. So just pay attention, because you got a lot of organization. I don't want to belittle nobody after the Lord that deals, but I don't want to talk about nobody not doing what they shouldn't do and all that stuff. But this, what we are doing, will work, and it will work powerful, and it will be a blessing. I got to read these next paragraph to show you what I'm talking about. But he says here, without this dimension of true fatherhood, accurate succession cannot possibly take place in the spirit realm, in the church, and in the ministry. We cannot operate on any other paradigm for succession, as there are none. It's the only way it's going to be done, because it's what the Lord said. Now watch. Churches, because I got one sentence I want to get to and I'm going to close with. Churches are going to have their own earthquake and splits if they ignore what is penned in this book. Apostle talking to Apostle John and David. They will have to face the consequence of rejecting the truth. The spirit of the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast, the harlot church, and the spirit of Babylon are entrenched in deception, betrayal, and lies. The Antichrist will betray the covenant. The spirit of this age will betray the marriage covenant and open the floodgate. Now listen, of promiscuous behavior violating godly ordinances of divine marriage. The spirit of Babylon will betray the legal contract in the marketplace, open the floodgate of fraud, cheating, and betrayal through lies and widespread deception. I've had members tell me, you know, I've had some of my sons tell me, they run up on the same tape and say, yeah, but I don't want you that way, I'm with you. After you hear it, as my father, you teach it out of your spirit. So that's why I'm reading this book today. It's so accurate and blessed me so much. But I'm going line up on line in the morning, preach up on preach up. But it tell you what's going to happen to the church. Make some statements that I want you to see. The spirit, I'm going to read it again. The spirit of the age will betray the marriage covenant and open the floodgate of promiscuous behavior. We got that going on. Violating godly ordinances of divine marriage. The spirit of Babylon will betray the legal contract in the marketplace. Open the floodgate of fraud, cheating, and betrayal through lies and lies. That's why you can't bring all the other stuff in the church. You got to stick with the word of God. Greed, covetousness, and the spirit of poverty and weed and interlock into the Babylonian system of the marketplace. churches are carelessly building themselves in the same mold and nature of these worldly kingdom of Babylon. What a great fall it would be in the future as the earthquakes are coming. And see, that's what I'm preparing you. That's why I'm glad God gave us material enough. I'm glad I'm mature enough to understand it. I'm glad that I've studied long enough to walk in the measures of the revelation. Let me read this last paragraph and expound on it in a minute, and then we'll close. The fault line and the tectonic plates are rumbling. They will soon slip, and great will be the fall of Babylon. In 1 hour, she will be wiped out. And that's going to happen to some churches. If they don't find their father, and they don't find a father who's carrying a measure, carrying a legacy, carrying a track record, have proof in their lives, both spiritually and manifestation-wise, demonstration-wise, who have not lived a holy, sanctified life without contamination, it'll be a problem. So now, watch this last statement. Those who mark covenant relationship and call it copy, C-U-L-T-I-C, and control it, will see the bug to their own heart. And we know a tight alliance like we're setting up, and you all committing, and I'm all y'all on the line today. A lot of y'all commit to try to get to the meeting. Some people will call it a cult because they've never seen it before. They've never seen the real father, real son, daughter relationship. Watch this. I'll read it one more time. You find the page, because I want God to read over the chapter. Get that book, read over the chapter. I ain't taking no page. Listen. Those who mark covenant relationship, what we have, we have a covenant relationship. And when we have a covenant relationship, religion, denomination, tradition, don't even know what we're doing. They say, why did you get a kid? And call it, they call it a cult. And a real covenant looks like a cult. Where you think the cult got its idea from?
Mm.
And control it. Okay, tell you what I'm going to do. We'll see the those who don't recognize, those who don't receive, those who don't understand, some come say, oh, this is not what I want. What they want? What they come for? Want to ride my jet? That's for my promises, so I can be anointed when I get where you are. I'm not supposed to be having fellowship with you flying through the air. I'm supposed to come and tell you something, what the Lord had revealed to me while I was flying through the air. So today, I'm so excited because the Lord had pulled me to that book, The Alliance of Honorable Men. We're going to go through that, probably go through this whole book. There's a lesson that Leroy Jr. teaches in School of Ministry. But it's so powerful and so clear. And then there's such a success track record. I hope my fumbling around, they help you some. But to draw us closer, I'm going to pray now. I take this revelation of how to cause your church to grow. I just give it to you. But you stir up the one you have and send them out to stir up the people in your area. Father, I thank you for this impartation session this morning. Holy Spirit, you will have to take this in the name of Jesus and put it in my sons and daughters' heart to know the reality of it and to know the covenant relationship that you want us to establish without fault finding, without putting anybody down, but correcting and directing and protecting. I thank you that each ministry under the sound of my voice will partake of my anointing today, of my love for you. I know that many of them love you, but I love you too. And I pray that your great grace and great power, the next time they open their mouth to speak the word of God, they'll have great grace and great power. I pray for that ministry to grow. I pray for doors to be open, opportunities to be open because of our relationship. You've opened many doors, many gates, many wonders for me, Lord. And my sons and daughters, I want the same thing for them. I want them to walk in the freedom. Okay, the bowl of Basiki Skada. Brahma Suna Shike Bro Mahayaya. Mundana Saka Bure Tokotara Taku Shike Teremo Kosha. I want them to be able to walk in more freedom than I have walked in. A lot of things I had to go down in the jungle to get where I am today. But today, the time is drawing near, and you want them to walk in as swiftly. So therefore, I impart to them this morning, I transfer to them a fresh anointing, a fresh awareness, a fresh what happiness, a fresh peace, and a fresh joy. And may they have fresh financial freedom in their ministry. May the supply and the pipe line up. We thank you so much for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. See y'all next round. God bless.